Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Fry, and we are blessed in the next hour to have Stan Dale, longtime thinker, reasoner, Power Hour radio personality, someone I've listened to in the past and have just been captivated by. And a couple of my buddies had him on their show, and they reminded me of him. I go, Stan, oh yes, Stan. So I contacted Catherine right away, and here he is. Without further ado, Stan Dale, welcome aboard, and prepare us a little bit for unwelcome futures that may arise in the United States as the pressure mounts, and we have to pick a side of a line.
Thank you for that, George, for that nice intro. And yes, you are right. We are at a an Alamo moment here. The barbarians used to be at the gate when President Trump was still in office. The barbarians have crushed the gate, and we now have a breach throughout the United States of invading enemy. And it reminds me of ancient Rome. I think it was in, about 410 AD or something like that, when the barbarians, you know, the Goth, broke through and just destroyed ancient Rome, the capital there. We, America is like a capital for the world, really, for blessings and, wonderful opportunities, freedom and everything else. But we have been careless in our choice of governments and in our dealings with other countries like China, Russia, Iran, whatever. And we are now facing a situation where we have several million potential terrorists, and they are terrorists, in our country, spreading COVID because they have not been inoculated or cured or whatever, and we've let them come through. Or the people occupying the White House has. They're not our presidents. But what we're seeing here is something that I was told about, Holly and I both, in 1996 when we were invited to be the guests of the Shingopavi tribe of the Hopi Nation. And we were invited to sit in the home and listen to the prophecies of their prophecy keeper, Augustine Moa. And he spoke for 20 minutes or so in Hopi. And I asked his son to translate later, a few minutes after he finished. And he says, oh, my dad was very glad that you came. And I said, 20 minutes worth of I'm glad doesn't cut it. What did he say? He said, well, I can't tell you everything because you don't have your tribal name with us. But, he said there's going to be a civil war in the United States, and it will be multifaceted, black against white, rich against poor, Muslim against Christian, Jews, et cetera. He said, it's going to be on all sides. It'll tear the country apart. I said, well, when's that happening? He said, well, soon. And Holly and I have to joke about it now. It's now 24 years later, and we say, Hopi soon is, yeah, okay, it's out there somewhere. But we're now closing down on that soon bit because we see it in the news, all of the intrusions, the crime, the drug, the sickness coming in with these people. Individuals are going to be forced to use some of their, like, precious resources, like lead and brass, steel, to defend themselves. And we have been trying to warn people about this, as I'm sure you have too, George. There's going to be door-to-door fighting, and it's about to start. It just takes that little spark, that one major confrontation, and suddenly the whole country will say, it's time. We got to get rid of these guys right now. Now, I am familiar with this from several points of view that I can't exactly tell you publicly where it's coming from, but know that my company, EMP Shield, deals with the government, the Defense Department, and with Donald Trump and Tom Homan and a lot of people. So we get data from all these sources and others. We're about to have this blow up in the United States. The Hopi said that this civil war would lead us to martial law being put on the people for a short moment, but that China, Russia, and a Middle Eastern nation, which we now know is probably going to be Iran, would invade the United States, bomb most of our major cities, have land troops come in and, loot, pillage, whatever. And then for some reason they would stop and leave the country, leave it bare and just go away. Now, the Hopi said that the survivors of this attack, the Bahana, the non-Hopi, non-people, that'd be like the Europeans, you and I, we would gather together into the Four Corners region and up into Utah and Colorado. And that's where the new nation would form, or the new tribe, after all this destruction. So they were telling us this like in 1996, and we're seeing it come to pass right now. It is a thing that we need to spread to people far and wide. Get ready, get prepared. You know, your food, water, defensive mechanisms. It's about to happen, and our prices at the grocery stores are going to go crazy fairly shortly because of all the stuff that this Biden group have done to our economy. This COVID masking and shutting down businesses and stuff like that, and, you know, impacting schools. This has caused all this huge economic crisis that we're approaching, and more is to come. We're there, George. I mean, we've been talking about this, my family and I, since 1959 and publishing stuff on it. And now all these years later, we're seeing it come to pass, come to a head in this year and maybe next year.
Indeed, indeed. One thing I try to get people to understand is when the Declaration of Independence came to be, and we talked about all men being created equal, we established a new race, a new culture, the American race. And we have to come to terms with the fact that all men are our brothers and stop allowing the enemy to divide us into various groups, because that's how we recognize the domestic enemies. We are supposed to be a nation undivided under God. So we have divisiveness, and we have a giant leap away from God. Those are two of the fundamental pieces that may very well lead, if not to our absolute destruction, but to a very, very, very serious denouement in American history. And it's time that we start to recognize these purveyors of this type of talk, of this type of divisiveness, and see them for what they are. They're like the kid in a little grade school to say, oh, so-and-so said something behind your back, go fight him. Then they go to the other kid and say, oh, so-and-so said something behind your back, go fight him. It's a childhood trick. We don't have to do that. We have to recognize that we're brothers under the same roof and sisters, and that our roof is solid unless we punch holes in it ourselves. And we can't allow that to happen. And they're masters at baiting us and getting us to move in that direction. And I think one of the other big factors is we have to be repentant. We have to go to God, not just as individuals and ask for forgiveness for our sins, but as groups and organizations and even as a nation. And I would love to see the day a president comes to God and asks for forgiveness for the nation's sins and asks for healing for the whole nation so that we don't have to go through these torments, because we're in a pot that's set to boil. And I'd rather take the pot off the stove and not allow it to boil by asking for God's grace at such a monumental time. But we've lost that reason. So many people just laugh at the concept of the fact that we have a creator and that the nation was founded by people with godly principles and maintained all the way along until now is just a power vacuum of spirituality with God. And, we'll see who rules when the time comes. And I hate to see the day that the great America is denigrated even further than it has been to date by getting into a conflict where brother kills brother. That would be a worst-case scenario, but it may be inevitable. What are some of the things we can do to understand this better, Stan?
Well, there are books talking about how the United States is going to be overthrown. Cleon Skousen wrote a book, the Naked Capitalist and Naked Communist and things like this back in the 50s and 60s. But there's a lot of information on the internet if you just look up Illuminism, World Government, and that kind of things to see what that concept is. But one of the things that my study group, we're a Christian study group, we have discovered very strong evidence that when the Bible speaks in Revelation about mystery Babylon of this age, at the end of this age. They are talking about the United States. It just fits the bill completely descriptively, you know, lakes and all that kind of stuff. And I think that we have to look at America as Babylon. And Jesus said, you know, to his bride, to his people, he said, that you're in mystery Babylon. So my people, you know, come out of her and be not partakers of her sins nor of her judgments. Now, a lot of people, you know, over the years have talked to us about this and said, well, if that's the case, why are you still living in America? Where do we go? And I told them, you know, look, it's not what you think. It's not telling you get out of Babylon or leave, you know, that kind of stuff. It is saying, come. Now, who is saying come? It's Jesus. He's saying, come to me that you be not partakers of that and that and that. Okay. That also, that verb come has one form of it that says come up out of her. Now, I think that might be referencing something called the rapture. When that occurs, you know, I don't know. I think it's probably pretty close if we're going to be taken out of here before we're, you know, we're crushed by this invading forces here that are taking over the country, destroying it. This whole thing has been in operation. This whole plan's right shortly after World War II ended. It is a slow, multi-generational communist takeover of the United States by surrounding us, by infiltrating us, our government, our financial system, our educational facilities, our theological schools, all infiltrated and putting into place a plan, a logic, a teaching that turns us away from God, really, and makes us susceptible to the invasion of our minds, our souls. And that's what they've done, and it's coming to a head now. I'm sure George Soros, who's one of the instigators of this stuff, you know, the modern ones, is kind of sitting in his living room with a nice glass of brandy or something, kind of laughing his backside off about how he has succeeded in taking down the greatest nation in the history of the world. That's, you know, so what can you do? You get prepared, you get real close to the Lord, because one way or another, you're going to be meeting him soon. I'm pretty sure of that.
Oh, indeed, indeed. I've always found that, I'm never shy to invoke the power of God in my daily dealings with life and whatever surprises come along. And I've had some very, very interesting experiences in near-death situations. And when the time comes, it's just the two of you. And, make no mistake about it. So whether it be heart attacks, gunshots, and a tragic car accident, I knew the power of God. And he can keep you or take you or put you wherever he deems necessary. So I know very deep in my heart that he sent me back many, many times to do a job for him. And I don't shun the responsibility or the duty one iota. And for people who aren't inured to that, it's just so difficult to watch them suffer because they leave the most awesome power available unused or even mocked and scoffed at and preferred to struggle to their own ends or to just take the ways of the world and try to conform to them somehow instead of just standing back and like a storm letting it pass and then walking in a clear, wonderful place. It's mind-boggling, but this eternal communist enemy does not give up. It never dies. That was, I remember, ages ago when, things changed in Europe and with the old Soviet Union and such like that. I remember talking to some academic about something to say, that communism's past, it's dead. And I just looked at him and I say, are you mad, brother? Mm-hmm. How can you even begin to say that? Communist China just alone is the biggest potential enemy and danger that we could face. And it has remained unchanged since Mao Zedong was alive. So we can never say that it has died. It's an evil, pervasive thing that can come upon us at any time, and not just that it can, it will. That's its dictate, is to take over and rule the world, and probably for something we might call the Antichrist in Scripture. And we can never let our guard down and to open our doors to take in all sorts of poisons one way or another, whether it be of the mind, the body, or even in business, to offshore our business and our best enterprises to a potential hostile nation. Just walks into Mao's greatest saying. That was, the capitalist will give me the money that I use to make the bullets to shoot him with, or something to that effect. And this is what we trust, and this is what we aspire to take into our midst. It is a fool's journey, but the race goes to the swift. So I can't deny them their abilities. The art of war comes from their country. It's something we should start to understand and prepare for, that we are being wholly taken advantage of. And most of our leaders are enemies domestic, because for any sort of money or reward, they will sell us down the river in a heartbeat. That old 19th century and before credo of honor, duty, honor, country is completely alien to them, really. It's just like you throw a bone to a dog or a group of dogs and they all fight over it, or, you know, contrive to get it. Just for that reason, they have no duty and honor and country. And I encourage people who are officers, who are decent human beings, that you have to look into yourself, to those 19th century and before ethics, to say, when I look in the mirror, that I am a person of honor. I wear the uniform. I have honor. I've sworn oaths to uphold the Constitution. I take that seriously. I have honor. And you will do the world a great favor. You will do the country a great favor. Never forget it. And whatever passing despot comes and goes, they're just more fools to the wind that will be forgotten unless they do enormous damage. And I feel we have come to the point where we're on the verge of enormous damage being done to the Republic. And it just, it's like fingernails on the blackboard, and I'm not even an American, but, you know, how many times I've heard one of your leaders talk about the democracy. I'm like, no, it's not. It's a republic. It's a republic. You don't even know what it is. How can you be the president?
Yeah.
It's disturbing.
Yeah, I remember the oath to defend the United States, the Constitution, against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And there are a number of us that still remember that.
And George Washington spoke well of that. If you ever do some research on him, you know, I guess look up his name with traitors or executions and such like that. And there were many cases and struggles that he had to deal with that just weren't on TV like ours, where he had to deal with these domestic enemies. It pained him, but he was ruthless at hanging them when that was required, and he spoke of that. And it's a awesome reminder to the way the world worked then and the way it works now. But these are our battles. We will fight the Alamo, which isn't a good battle. We might fight Bunker Hill, where we give the enemy a good bloody nose and make them think twice before they try it again. Or we have to actually cross the Delaware with a new leader and restore the Republic properly, not just for itself, but for the whole world. Because if America falls, the world falls. And maybe that's why it's been God's blessing to do radio in the United States and not in another country, because it wouldn't make any difference. The big difference will be that we save America and we save the world. And this is the heartland in places where this show goes, around the world as well, but this is America's heartland. Tennessee, Missouri, and environs nearby. And it's a great blessing to be able to help my neighbor find itself. Because when it does, look out, communism, you're going to get a black eye.
Hey, George, what do you think the great deception spoken of in the Bible is going to be?
There are many, many facets. 2 Thessalonians 2 says that, you know, we will all come to a point now where we will take up a false thing. Probably the biggest things we take up are false gods. I think the money system, the whole concept of the fact that we don't do anything to revere God. We do things for our own financial gains or the gains of little organizations. We're not born into this world with assets. We come with a soul. That is our greatest gift. And when we leave, the soul leaves and the rest stays behind. And we do very little to maintain the soul or to keep it pure or to make it as God made it. Part of the deception comes on now where they just, it's Satan wants to turn everything around opposite to what God made. God created us, man and woman, Adam and Eve. And there's probably been no greater struggle than that recently, that there is no Adam and there is no Eve. And we're not to be fruitful and multiply. We're being probably put into a situation where we'll be sterile. And artificial intelligence may arise as an enemy. And whatever is born in the future will have its DNA created. This is the sacred gift of God, is the DNA. And to put something in our bodies that will change it into something else at the whim of whatever has the power to do that is the ultimate sacrilege, really. And I think people are just wholly, wholly unprepared for the level of struggle that we are entering with these new types of paradigms. And that's why we have to hold fast to what was true before, because
George,
we knew it was true before. Yes.
George, are you familiar with my viewpoint on what the great deception is? A global deception of every nation, every person on the earth? Are you familiar with what I've talked about on that?
No.
All right. I did work. I was recruited to work for Dr. Edward Teller's team down in Australia, working on our private or secret propulsion systems for anti-gravity, making flying saucers and other types of devices and technologies. We did meet and make deals with creatures, some human-like and others, those little gray things, right after World War II ended. And the plan amongst the Allied powers at the time, at the end of the war, was we have to figure out a way to avoid another Hitler on the earth. We have to figure out a way to combine the peoples of the earth into one purpose. And they said that, you know, Hitler failed because he forced, and that the United Nations type things would fail because, you know, you can't get any two or three of these 196 nations to agree on how to pour a cup of tea even. So they said, we have to bring an umbrella to the planet. We have to frighten all the nations into submitting to a new world order. And we can talk about that after that music finishes there.
Indeed, what a way to leave them hanging. It's just like a good old show. And this is a good new show, Power Hour Nation with Stan Dale. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Thanks for coming out. Your redemption is near.
Where to start? There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall.
I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Welcome back, my friends, to Power Our Nation, blessing us for the next segment, Stan Dale. And we left you, like, you know, what do they call them? Cliffhangers. We left you hanging on the cliff. And we were going to, take you into the mystical struggles of this age. Compliments of Stan Deo, and we will put him back on the rails and get this coming out.
All right. Thank you, George. When I worked for Edward Teller's group and research down in Australia back in the early 70s, I learned a lot of stuff about what we already had in the back room, what the world powers that were working together had already developed. And you probably heard Ronald Reagan at the United Nations years ago say, what the Earth needs today is perhaps an invasion of little green men to unite all the nations together. Well, his wife bought a copy of my book, The Cosmic Conspiracy, where I talk about that very thing being what was planned from the end of World War II. But the planning did not include, quote-unquote, aliens or people from, the fallen ones from the parallel universe where God dwells. That came in the early 50s when we made deals with them to build them underground structures and facilities. And we did that, and they gave us better technology, molecular physics and whatever. But toward the end of the 70s, they started kicking us out of our own bases we'd built for them. And they were fighting, battles to get us out. We fought back, but we didn't prevail. So now the technology that we were developing then has to be done very carefully and quietly to keep it out of the knowledge of these fallen ones. And that's almost impossible. Now, Daniel says in chapter 11, he talks about the alien god that the Antichrist of this age will honor but not worship. And it's a god of forces and things. Now, with what we were planning with the technology to fool the world at the end of World War II, to fool the world into thinking we had elder brothers in space coming en masse, that was taken over by real beings that have been here since probably before the Garden of Eden that were fallen ones following Satan. Now, this great deception, in my opinion, is going to be the arrival of, quote-unquote, our alien brothers from space who will get rid of all those ugly gray critters that have been abducting and hurting people, who will get rid of the Illuminati and, the evil world government, and people will just be astonished at the power that they have and the help they can be to solving, food shortages and economic crises and war and all that kind of stuff. They can stop nuclear war. So the arrival of this group, from the heavens, will impress people who don't know better. And that's why the scripture says that it will be so, so clever, this deception, that even the very elect would be fooled, if such were possible. And it's not possible because they're not going to be here. They've been removed. But this first invasion is going to appear to be good guys getting rid of the bad guys. And people will fall for it because it seems like that's what the Bible says. But it's going to be the arrival of the evil that will dictate the planet for that 7-year tribulation period. And fortunately, they will be removed by the real arrival at the Battle of Armageddon, by Jesus and his army, his people. So this is the great deception. It's trying to turn the belief in Jesus and following him away to following Satan's people, and without telling them that it's Satan. It's just a great deception so that Satan can be supplanting Jesus in their minds, and he will be an evil controlling individual openly when that happens. So anyway, that's how I see it. And, I've probably preached that for 35, 40 years. It is coming. To watch for, the focus on aliens and invasion and friendly aliens and that kind of stuff. Watch for the focus in the mainstream media to go there until we actually see them and their presence is obvious. And that'll probably be at a time when the world is afraid of a global nuclear war erupting, which will be over with probably Iran and Israel entering into a global into a nuclear confrontation. And I guarantee you the Israelis have nuclear weapons that are not just atomic bombs. They have got some real surprises for anyone trying to invade them. And this will, of course, put the world on instant alert saying, oh, wait, how can we stop this? And that's when we'll see the arrival of these, or the open arrival of these, quote-unquote, aliens and their technology to save Earth, to neutralize all nuclear weapons and things like that. So beware of that if you're here to see that. I personally don't think I'm going to be here, and a lot of Christians aren't going to be here to see that. But for those who come behind us and hear this discussion or read the books about it, this is what the deception is. Don't be caught into it, and don't be numbered like the scripture says is going to happen.
Well, this is part and parcel the concerns I have about the mRNA injections, that you're changing or altering God's sacred DNA. And, there are issues to say that mRNA technology was something that came from Roswell's crash as well, or from these forces. Dr. Wood wrote a good book on that called Alien Viruses. And, that makes me very, very leery to put something that is impure into my body and to change and alter it. I'm quite happy with what the good Lord gave me. We, as I spoke in the first hour, we don't use things from the garden properly to fortify our bodies, strengthen it, get our immune system working. We put in counterfeits and fake things that actually destroy it. And that's why we're so susceptible to getting sick. And then frequently, a lot of times when we are getting sick, we don't even have the knowledge to ask God for redemption and to restore us. And, I've had 3 heart attacks, and I could tell you, when it's coming near the end of the gate, and, I never had any doubt that the Lord is with me. Pain, this, that, complete and total confidence that whether I cross the divide or not, that I'm in good company. And that really makes you, feel that you can handle anything when that's over. They can't scare me with anything, because I know who the ultimate power is in this world. Another piece of information I came across, I don't know if you were familiar with this chap, Haim Ashed. He's the former head of Israel's Defense Ministry's Space Directorate, wrote a book, and he said that we made a treaty with this so-called Galactic Federation. And, I'd love to track him down or find a copy of his book in English, but there is something that is beyond the pale. And when we study and look at especially a lot of things that were done in the 40s, 50s, early 60s, the writers, the thinkers had a lot of information at their hands, and they were very intelligent. They were educated to a much higher degree than we are today, but they lived through that and had the courage of World War II under their belts as well. So they were tough and not fearful of coming to terms with things that had to come to terms with. And when we look at a lot of history then and now, and we add that little codicil about what manipulations were there. There were many different crashes other than Roswell. The Germans had theirs in the 30s in the Bavarian Forest. Even, I think it was Andrew Jackson, as I recall, in New Orleans, saw something coming out of the sky. This goes back to the forever time, and this is the forever battle. And we've just been convinced that we're never, at loggerheads. There is no devil. There is no Satan. No matter how much we're attacked and destroyed by, there is no force of evil. But at every turn, we're being lured into another trap, another pogrom of one sort or another to convert us into another way of thinking, another way of life that is completely opposite to what God created. And I guess the last step is to attack and destroy the DNA, and that would be his greatest victory. And the stuff they put in the shot, I only had to hear the word Luciferase once. And wait, that's not going in my body. Some people at work were teasing me because everybody sucker to this because they're so fearful. They have no faith and they're fearful, and they might laugh at me behind my back because I have faith. But, you know, so I teased them back, and I said, well, you'll know when I get the shot. And they go, oh, yeah, how's that? So I'll be on TV. I go, on TV, really? Oh, yeah, I'll be on the news when I get my shot. And it's like, oh, yeah, do tell, do tell. I said, well, the Army will have to chase me down the street, and they'll put it in my dead rear end after they shoot me down.
Yeah, true, true, same here. Yeah, look, this is... There's so many facets to this attack by Satan on us. It's amazing. It just, you know, I'm not fearful. I know you and I have both had, you know, near-death experiences out of body, and it changes you when you realize. And you'd rather be there out of your body with the Lord than here because it's so wonderful and peaceful. But it's up to us then to try to share that concept or that emotion that comes from that with people who are even Christians who are wondering whether they're believing in the right thing or not. He is there, and he's comforting it. And, you know, the spirit of fear just should not be indulged in anything. How much time we got? About 3 or 4 minutes?
No. We got a good 15.
Oh, okay, great. Okay. All right. Well, we were talking a while ago about the Antichrist and stuff, and I did a lot of research on that because of when I worked with Teller's group, we had a joint base with aliens in Saudi Arabia, about 120, 180 clicks south of Riyadh in the Jabal Tuwaik on the western slopes. In fact, I've got a picture of the base there in my show images page. But the deal for us to get that base there was because a sheikh had some trouble with one of his wives and a mistress there. And so he gave us that land to put that base in there. And it's elevated. Jabal Tuwaik is above the desert floor. And they had facilities in place so that if anyone came close to trying to ascend the slope or to land there, they were instantly killed without any discussion. It was just no one was allowed there. You died. And our security teams were telling me about that and some of the instances that happened there. But Saudi Arabia is, in another research project, it is old Atlantis. It was the one where the fallen ones were mating with our women, you know, the daughters of Eve. And this place, I think, is going to get technology and support from Satan and his minions in setting up the New World Order. Now, I translated in the book of Revelation 13 about here wisdom is, the number is 666, number of a man. The Bible helps you translate that by going back to where 666 was the number of a man's income, and that was King Solomon, 666 talents of gold a year. Now, he's wisdom. So I looked at that trying to get the name of the Antichrist, and it will be a derivative of Solomon. And the de facto ruler right now of Saudi Arabia is Prince Mohammed bin Salman, S-A-L-M-A-N, same thing. Now, there's another Solomon, Solomon Sulu, who is in the government of Erdogan in Turkey. And so both of those guys have, you know, the name credentials and the Islamic base to fit the bill for an Antichrist. There are just so many of these things, George, that all come together around things that happened in the Middle East. If you get time, you could go look at my lecture on discovering Atlantis and the Garden of Eden and what I had to take the earth back to its form where it was 25% smaller in diameter and where the continents were all together. It's a long kind of scientific discussion, but it's done with humor and stuff to explain why that part of the world is where it's all about to happen.
Indeed. I look at or have come to believe that many of the wars we fight today are in places that were of great significance in ancient times. So I would take the scene of a fight or a battle, Google it, look at the history, and go, eons ago, we fought on this ground for other reasons, perhaps. And we still fight over these today. The antiquities are things that are great prizes in war, and to other sides, great things to destroy, so that you cannot have access to the ancient knowledge.
Mm.
And I see this as part of the perpetual sphere of battle that is hidden from us. We have new causes for our wars or battles, but deep down inside, are they? Are we fighting over the same hallowed ground that was fought over in days much, much more ancient, with much more ancient weapons, but with the hidden ones among us dictating or using us as proxies, and that nothing has changed really, except maybe today we seem to be far more ignorant of the fact that we are participating in our own destruction. But if we don't know who the enemy is, and the fact that most of these critters, extraterrestrials, etc., are hidden from us, and the worst is the artificial intelligence elements. I don't know if you've ever heard Boris Johnson speak at the United Nations in 2019. It's an absolutely chilling, chilling speech, where he talks about the artificial intelligence and how it's going to take us over. And he even uses specifically, you know, pink-eyed Terminator robots have come from the future to kill us. And I think, well, he's the Prime Minister of Great Britain, and he's not in a straitjacket, and he's speaking at the United Nations. I played the whole clip on Power Hour. It's about 22 minutes long. It should send chills to your spine. What have they done? Did they surrender to this entity? Because he boasts of the fact that London will be at the epicenter of creating this artificial technology. And what is it? It is the image of man, isn't it? When you create something that's a hybrid of what God created, you're making an image, a graven image. And maybe the graven part is in the DNA altered into something else. And that is the ultimate sin, the ultimate sacrilege, because it separates us from God. Many people who have taken this injection said that they felt that they lost a consciousness with God at that point. And some scientists say, I believe that was chromosome 8 that kept us connected to God. So if we break that connection, that's one of the ultimate goals of Satan, to leave you helpless and prostrate in a time where you can no longer have effective prayer because he broke the connection. And I can't see that there's anything you could frighten me or scare me with. And knowing things that are in God's arsenal of things grown on this good earth that fight upper respiratory infection with great, great prowess, one that I discussed in the first part, it's easy to remember even though I'm not too good at remembering the N-acetyl, whatever, is just NAC, N-A-C, easy to find. And this thing is just loaded with abilities to protect your body and to heal your body from upper respiratory infections of all sorts. And we're deprived of this. Jesus said, we die from lack of knowledge. And this is one of the big places where we're dying from, is they've taken away even the chemical ones they use, like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. Say, well, we can't use that. So you get sick, just go home and die until we invent a vaccine. And if you come back, we're going to intubate you and torture you to death for your last week or two. But, I think I want to try one of those instead.
Yeah, look, my brother's a surgeon. And back in 2020, when all this started, he advised us to be sure and what to do to keep our immune system up. And that was the only way to really fight this. And we've done that, Holly and I. There's certain series of vitamins and foods, and we grow a lot of our own food here, you know, and vegetables. We don't have livestock or things like that. But, you know, you were mentioning this AI, artificial intelligence stuff. Being a computer programmer from, you know, the very start when IBM invented the things, I am familiar with programming. And the artificial intelligence computers that we now have, which are like quantum computers, they are so incredibly fast and have such incredibly large databases that programmers, when they program these things to guard their country or their, you know, their city or whatever they're doing it for against enemy or against economic crises that can sneak up on you or weather systems, they have to put in value judgments, ethical value judgments into this artificial intelligence, this program. So it's not just one programmer that programs an AI. It's several programmers, and they all have different ideas about, you know, honor, ethics, whatever. And they can be in conflict in certain conditions that come along, and your AI says, what do I do? Do I kill 100,000 people here, or, you know, stop the economy here? And it will be in conflict because two of its programmers have vastly differing ethical values that have been programmed into the system. And it's a big system. So AI is really like a Frankenstein monster. And we're going to see, I wonder if the beast spoken of there in Revelation is, or the image of the beast, is like an AI 3D holographic representation of this artificial mind. It's the only kind of thing that the governments could use to respond to threats, you know, that you have to have an answer for in 2 or 3 minutes or less. So, yeah, I agree with you. It's AI, and it will be used by the Antichrist of this age. It's built. It's working, and I've read those same reports you were talking about from London about the advances in AI. It is spooky. It's like a human.
Oh, indeed.
You've made it like a human with human emotions or at least human logic from several different types of humans. So, in essence, we're creating a Superman without morals.
That is it exactly. So, you know, I've heard it referenced as the central entity computer. Colonel Corso said that in his book, The Day After Roswell, that we would spread this silicon life form that they found in Roswell around the world like Ebola, and it would become the computer that rules us. And, you know, to become now the Internet of Things, the Internet of People, where the game plan of some of the techno geeks is to actually hook us up to this. The chap you were talking to before, Andrew, on Horizon Talk Radio, he had the jab. And he told me before the show, when I had him on Power Hour with Tim, that when he thinks of things, his mind is red, and he's getting adverts already on his computer about things he thought of. And I said, well, you better think of nice things in case you get in trouble with the missus or something like that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You don't need that. And so it's nice to be able to have some words coming from people who have taken it and understand the dynamics of what's happened so that we can better analyze things. But I see nothing good in this. The more they have to force us, the more they have to coerce us, the more they have to trick us, the worse it has to be. And it's just not a trail I want to go down. I'm quite happy to be in God's forests and appreciate his skies and his trees and his life that is abounding all around us, and give great thanks to what is termed in the Bible many times his footstool, and having the privilege of being able to meander through that unscathed with a clear heart and conscience. So I sleep nights. This doesn't bother me at all. Because I know this is all part of the great unfolding of wills, and that whether this is a hand of correction or just a response to this attack by Satan, we will persevere. We just have to know who to call on. Mm. And when you pick up that eternal phone, I can assure you, call on the Lord. It's been done a long, 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 long time, and we're still here. And know his enemies. And see them for what they work. Anyone who tries to divide anything from American to American is pretty much an enemy of the state. If the only thing they think about is looting the treasury or taking funds or power, they're enemies of the state.
Yeah.
We just don't seem to have that wonderful, beautiful leader that is there for the good of the team, us, the people. And hopefully we find one soon.
you know, you were saying about call on the Lord to make that call. Somebody told me once, I haven't forgotten it, about make sure that that call to God is a local call, not long distance.
Oh, indeed. Well, that's probably why they invented Skype. We can get to the heavens and the counter heavens with our message. But it is there, I can assure you. And the hand of the Lord is very, very powerful. I was in a tragic car accident once, and God stopped time. I thought I was dead, and I'm just floating in the air. I'm going like, wow, this is cool. I'm not moving anymore. And, you know, right in front of me is a transport truck across the road. And when a voice comes in my head, tells me what to do, I maneuver the way I'm supposed to do it, and then time started again, and I was released from this hold. So for me, I wasn't braking, I was accelerating. And I crashed into the landing leg on the rig, and it caught me like a baseball. I felt no pain. The smoke in the car from the airbag, and I'm just looking around going like, wow. God held me in his arms. This is amazing. And it wasn't until the fireman tried to lift me up that I realized I had a broken leg. And I'm going like, oh, cool. But I said, oh, I think I'll get out of the car myself. You just put that board thing there, and I'll get on it. I know how to move without pain. And then once I'm on that, I'm yours. And but I was just elated for days that you could just realize there's something there, my friends.
And
they want to separate us from that.
Yeah, he's there with you though. That's the message. I've experienced the same thing in a car wreck. Same thing. Time slowed down to where I knew what to do. He showed me, you know, you push your foot there and you turn this way, and it was at 100 miles an hour. And when the car came to rest, not a scratch on me. But I understand what you're saying. People don't realize how close God is. He's always there with you. Just need to call on him.
Indeed. Well, I had a cross, I still do, hanging from my rearview mirror. And everything in the arc of that cross was saved. And the things outside of it were damaged. But they healed. And there's no sign of it anymore. That's the beauty of our bodies. It's the beauty of our creation. It's the beauty of our Eden, this wonderful earth that God gave us. And we thank you, Stan Deo, for coming here and blessing us with your intuitions and insights. And we pray for you that everything goes well with you in your future. Thank you very much.
And the same for you too, George. Thank you.
God bless you, my friend.
God bless you.
God bless America and the world. Good day, Power Hour Nation. We are the nation, the one that survives.
Great I am, He is Yahweh, the Lord of all, He is Yahweh. House of Sharon, He is Yahweh, righteous Son, He is Yahweh, the three in one, He is Yahweh.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.